Rabbi Ravna quotes the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who quotes Rav Sadia Gaon, who claims that many people have the view that Nitzavim and Vayelech, which we're going to lay next week, are really one parsha. He says they used to be broken down differently. Sefer HaChinuch, for example, he says, splits Mishpatim into two parshas, and the second parsha begins with the pasuk in Kesef Tilvah, the halachas if you loan money. He says, if we think about it, the words Nitzavim Vayelech are opposite. Nitzav means we're standing, right? We're immobile. We're as if stuck in a spot. Vayelech means just the opposite. We're walking, we're progressing. As Rabbi Lehrfeld pointed out, the word halacha comes from the verb halach, go. It's a way to keep traveling, to keep moving up the spiritual ascendancy. The Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, said, we need both elements in life. We need to stand firmly, to be stable, to be reliable, and to exercise strength. A king remains stable on his throne, and whoever desires an audience must come to see him. When Miriam and Avia stood beside the Nile to watch what would happen with baby Moshe, it says, for she stood from afar. And it says, her standing has the same root letters as Nitzavim. She was standing there for a purpose. She was standing there firmly. We may suggest she expected something good would happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would some way save Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayelech halacha means we move, we grow, we expand. He says this oxymoron of standing and walking means we're firm in our ability to grow, and with that firmness, we use that as a way to propel our actions. He says, Rabbi Rosner, when a person becomes more and more knowledgeable in his Torah, sometimes the newfound sophistication can have a negative effect. He says, we know that as we add more and more knowledge to our brain, wherever we add it, okay, we know that somehow we may not comprehend everything fully, and something else we knew may somehow dissipate. I don't know the psychology of the brain or the capability. I'm quoting others. And he says, there's a truism that oftentimes we think we've forgotten more, and we feel that, you know what, I'm having a hard time comprehending what I'm experiencing now. But he said, stop. He said, we have to have the naivety of a child with respect to Emunah, with our faith. He says, similarly to when one person is a successful business person, they don't or they shouldn't forget about the early beginnings, about what we call the early birth pains, the struggle. to get there. The fact that maybe initially it was difficult to earn a living. He said, we have to learn how to daven. He says, with the same sincerity that we had when we realized how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu's grace we needed at a time of greater discomfort. And he concludes that as we go through the parsha of Nitzav and Vayelech this week and next, he says the bracha is that we harmonize Nitzav and then Vayelech. We have the stability of our simple faith, our emunah pshuta, and we have the realization for the constant need for growing and expanding in our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He quotes what we spoke about earlier in the week, Hanistarois Lashem Elokeinu. The hidden things belong to God Almighty. Whatever averos are in the open, that's our issue. Things that we cannot and do not know about, we don't have that bias. The whole concept of a common achrayus, one for another, exists. The Chofetz Chaim explains, I did a mitzvah, I heard shofar, but I am allowed to sound it for you. Right? Because if you had not done the mitzvah, my mitzvah is somehow incomplete. I have some level of achrayus to allow you to accomplish the mitzvah. Klal Yisrael is considered one joined body. And so if my left hand, right, or my right hand, that I wear my tefillin on, or left hand, whichever it is, needs a mitzvah, the rest of me needs a mitzvah. And he says, this is a wonderful idea, that I can do a mitzvah for someone else. I can be motzi somebody else. But he said, the flip side is, you mentioned earlier in the week, I cannot stand by and see public desecration of a Kaddish Baruch Hu and just say, well, it's not my problem. He said, the concept of an are, the guarantor, is that Shimon borrows money, Reuven agrees to guarantee that Shimon will repay Levi, and if need be, he's got to cut the check. He says this concept of guarantors, right, is what defines a relationship among the Jewish people. We guaranteed and we co-signed for our fellow Jews. He quotes the Tomer Devorah, and he says, where he explains, the writer, that just as we are related to the Rabbeinu Shalom, we have the same type of relationship, connection to other Yidden. Obviously, it's not, I would say, on the same level, but the notion is that we as Jews, we know we have two sets of mitzvot, but Adam Lamakai, those mitzvahs that we are required to do, they're between Hashem and the human being, who then Adam Lachavero, my mitzvahs that depend on my interrelationship with others. And the Mephoreshim keep coming back to this notion of guarantors, that at this bris that Moshe now made or facilitated Jewish people entering, this is where this concept of co-guarantors arose. Okay, I think we looked at this pasuk already this week too. It will be when all of these things come upon you, both the bracha and the klola, that you are going to do tshuva, you're going to return to Hashem. Rav Rosner says, the language seems puzzling. We normally think of bracha, blessing, and curse as being mutually exclusive. And he said, what is the pasuk saying, if we read it, when these things come upon you, the bracha and the curse, they're put side by side. Somehow, he says, this is an indication there can be a simultaneous occurrence of blessing and curse. He quotes Tosefet Bracha, that the cliche is, not everything's black and white. With every bracha, there may be a klola component, and with every klola, there might be some hidden bracha. He says, not everything can be clearly categorized as A or B. He says, we know in history, oftentimes a silver lining exists when something seems to be awry, when something is painful. He says, let's go the other way. An individual wins the lottery, and immediately everyone says, that's a great bracha. Right? And he says, God willing, his reaction is, now I can be a real baltzaka, giving significant amounts to tzedakah. He says, but human nature is such that as one has, I don't know what level of wealth, one begins to diversify and gather various assets and investments. Right? You go from savings accounts to bonds to stocks to commodities to options to God knows what else. And he says, you know what happens? And he says, this is written about many times in Chazal. The more you get, the greater the propensity to worry about it. That's the way we're built. He quotes Pirkei Avos, increased wealth increases worry. He says, so is the bracha of a literal fortune a complete bracha? Or is it someone tainted with the fact that it's going to cause you stress? Nobody has a mind totally at ease. He says, alternatively, an individual who is poor can say, hey, what a klola. and is forced to act in a modest way, and God willing, develops tremendous reliance on the Rabboni Shel Olam. He says, those things are positives. Yes, you don't want to have that type of challenge of right difficult financial means, but is there somehow this saving grace, so to speak, that you can rely on Hashem? He says, whatever we experience in life, he says, the true task of someone who's committed is to use that very experience as a means to become closer to Rabboni Shel Olam. Because after mentioning these two items, blessing and curse, it says, you will return to Hashem, your God. He says, God willing, one should have the ability, the foresight, to find the positive in whatever event HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to one's life. The notion of a proper attitude, that it's a kol min shamayim, all came from the Almighty, he says, that's the ultimate raincoat against the cult, right? Against the difficulties that rain upon people. He said, sometimes we give a bracha to someone that he should become a Talmud Chacham. And he said, I've seen the parents' reaction. Some parents believe it's a true bracha, and others unfortunately say, I don't need a lady guy here. I don't need a guy who's not going to be whatever their view of productivity and contributing member of society is. He quotes the Medrash in Parshas Toldos, which says, when Yitzchak blessed Yaakov, he began by saying, the Yitain Lecha Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you. He says, the Medrash is bothered by the fact that it says, the Yitain, and. It says, and is a conjunction, and it's adding to something stated before. Or continuing, he said, but if this is the future, what does this mean, this end? Yitzchak was saying to Yaakov that not only would he merit getting bracha, but that he will recognize that what he in fact receives is truly a bracha from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. What he was giving the bracha was that whatever the individual, and we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, Mito Shlema, the one who founded the 12 Svatim, right? He will realize that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and will appreciate every experience. Very high level, as we all can appreciate. You know, and granted, it was Yaakov Avinu. But as Chazal tell us, we've got to try to, at least on our own levels, begin to think about the notions and act towards them. Okay. We know that we've entered the period of Slichos starting Saturday night. And we'll continue, right? And we'll continue.
Learning first, of course. Learning before cleanliness.
We have this great period of trying to do what we can, so to speak. And I'm going to give my own 2 cents, and maybe it's worse. Maybe you could even say it's worth less than 2 cents. But I think at this time of year, when many people become introspective about what they have to do, maybe we should take a minute too and say, how much better did I become this year from last? Talk about a couple of the accomplishments everybody made, because a year doesn't live without accomplishments. Can it shine, as they say. And maybe knowing that there were challenges that were faced and overcome is a springboard and allows us to say, okay, I'm back here again. And as I think it's one of the art scroll Rabbanim who wrote, quoting, we know that we more often seem to fail than succeed. But if we know that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that too. And maybe with those types of realizations, right? And the notion that we're not going to change everything, but we're going to try, and trying to pick, like they say, I think they said Ruff Palm, 1 year picked. My New Year resolution is to daven benching from a sitter every time. Something small. And hopefully the small things that we do will propel us on to greater and greater things. And I think that's a bracha we can think about somewhat. We know that the Jewish calendar, every month has 29 days or 30. When we have 30 days, the 30th day is technically the last day of the previous month. That's what it says. The one exception is we get to the 29th of Elul, and there is no 30th of Tishrei. It's always the first, right? There's no 30th of Elul. All we get is the first of Tishrei. Which is an interesting thing. And we also know that Rosh Hashanah is the only Yontif celebrated for 2 days in Yerushalayim, because since it's the only Yontif that occurs on a Rosh Chodesh, they always had the problem that Rosh Chodesh had to be Mekudesh. The Beis Din had to state it, that it was Kodesh, that today is Kodesh. And so, and you couldn't do it unless you saw the new moon. So we come to the end of the 29th day of, in the old days, 29th day of Tishrei, and nobody knows, is the moon going to be seen tonight or not? What do you do? If the moon's not seen, right, it's not Yontif. If the moon is seen and based in the Kaddish does the sanctification tomorrow, then it was. That's how they ended up with 2 days, because you had to keep the first day. Okay, now, what I'm wondering is if they knew somehow that the first day was definitely kept as Yontif in Yerushalayim, maybe they didn't keep the second day. Other times they did, because they didn't know in any event. We know that Chutz Laretz, they often had to keep 2 days because they wouldn't know, even if Beis Din did the sanctification during the day, the annunciation thereof wouldn't happen. So they had a problem. Well, that's how we ended up with 2 days of Rosh Hashanah for everyone. And with all the other months, this fixed calendar of 29, 30 days is somewhat reflective of the problem they had and right, try to get this Kiddush HaChodesh right at all times, because we know we have specific days to do mitzvahs. The 10th day of Tishrei Yom Kippur, the 15th day is Sukkot. We know Pesach has got to be the 15th. Luckily, we know we can count then 49 days to Shavuos, but this was always the monthly tension in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. So we are at the show. We'll be back tomorrow, obviously, and then we'll figure out from there what we're going to be doing next week. Have a great afternoon, Kol Tov. Thank you for your time. Bye-bye.
Thank you.